The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 22nd day of May 2025. And this is Pledge Week, Pledge Week, Pledge Week. And the numbers are 888 281-1110, that's the credit card line, or 888-677-9673. And tonight, Pastor's Mighty Men and Women, back in the phone booth, we have Karen and Eric back there, ready to take your calls. And then here in our, well, where we keep him in that glass cage, ever ready, he's ready to rock and roll, as he says it, man. He's ready to go. And that's none other than Style with a Smile.
Hey, good evening, Pastor.
Okay, then in the studio here, the studio marm, who does no harm, I wish. Lisa Hickman.
Good evening, everyone.
And then we have here tonight my co-host in here with me, my fellow pastor, Richard Lewis.
Welcome, everyone. Glad to be here.
We go back a long way, don't we?
Yeah, way back.
Way back before the big frost,
yeah,
as they say.
Over 40 years, yeah.
Yeah. And so anyhow, we got a lot to talk about tonight. And we're going to start off with, well, tonight, I tell you, I've got bittersweet news. And let me tell you why it is. Because there's a fellow who's been in our church for a long time, a dear friend, a good, godly man, solid father and husband, and just a true brother in the Lord. And he went home. He's been ill for quite a while, and he went home to be with the Lord today, this morning, very early this morning. And Chuck Reisinger. And he left his bride, Claudia, was a sweet, what a wonderful, sweet lady. She's been with us for so long, and so our most sincere condolences go out to the Reisinger family. And, you know, when I say bittersweet, you know, for Chuck, you know, I mean, it couldn't be any better for him now. He's gone home to be with the Lord.
Yes, amen.
And so he's seeing things that we can only right now dream of. Okay, he's there. Okay, he made it home. He graduated, right?
Yes.
And that's why we have that precious hope that we have. And, of course, he left Claudia, left that big void there. When we all lose, we all know what it's like to lose. So when you do, okay,
yes, yeah,
after all the years of marriage. And so we just want to say again our most sincere condolences. Chuck loved the Lord. He was a faithful, true believer, and always could do whatever he was able to do, he would do. And these last few years, he's suffered, I mean, a tremendous amount with health problems. And boy, it's been not a good year for a lot of us the last 3 or 4 years. Yeah. It's really been tough, okay? But anyhow, again, like I said, he leaves his precious bride, Claudia. And, well, she's got her church family. We're with her now, so.
Yeah, and that grieving process gets easier, but you never get over it.
No,
it's always a tug on your heartstrings.
Well, it's like a piece of you is gone.
Absolutely. Well, God says when you're united, you are one. So it's like half your body being ripped apart.
Yeah, you become one in that. When you become one, that one is as a child. And I know what it's like to lose a child, and so many people out there do.
Yeah,
it's like somebody, you know, has reached in and pulled out your heart for a while. But but we want to just praise the good Lord for. We know where they're at, and I know someday I'll see my son again. Okay, mm-hmm. And I'll see. Well, we'll be with family and friends, like that song that we sing, "Blessed by You." Okay.
Yeah.
And you know, Scripture says that this life is so short. It's like a vapor that appears, but for an instant, then it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I just sat here, and we made a list of over 20-something people
that have gone home.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's just a partial list. Those are the folks just attended our church. Okay?
Yeah, somebody that we've known or made contact with, and they've passed on. And, you know, as we get older, these fleshly robes deteriorate, and we just have to understand that the real us are the ones that our soul and spirit are the ones that are going to go to heaven.
Well, you know, and God has built that into us, Richard, you know, when we're young and full of, you know, vigor, and we have all that energy, we have a lot of living to do, and... But when we get older, like we do, and the aches and the pains come and things start slowing down and all those old body parts don't work as well as they used to anymore. And so you kind of say, you know what, I'm ready to go and leave this world. I'm ready to get that new body, right?
Yes, amen.
And do we have any doubt at all, any doubt, even the slightest doubt, that we won't get those glorified bodies? That
None whatsoever. And you know why? Because the Word of God says so. And you know, if you believe one part of the Bible, you have to believe the whole thing.
Yep.
And a lot of times people will take a part of the Bible and then, well, I don't really believe that, but I do believe this. That's no, the whole Bible, this is God speaking to us. What do they say? Bible stands for basic instructions before leaving Earth.
Yep. Well, you know, it's the most powerful thing in existence is God's Word.
Yes.
He literally spoke everything into existence, the universe, right?
Yes.
And so all of us, we're sustained by the Word of God, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
And so...
And God thinks about us. You know, if God would stop thinking about us, we would perish. Simple as that.
Absolutely. Carl in Cleveland plays us 200? Or is that 300? Thank you, Carl. Okay. Can we get a match for Carl? Can we get a match for Carl in Cleveland, 300? The numbers are 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. Richard, would you lead the folks out there listening? We really believe the Word of God. We really believe the Word of God because there's nothing so sure. And Richard's going to pray, but there's power in prayer, much, much prayer, much power. And folks out there, we need much prayer right now. We have, we're kind of, I don't know, we're up against it, and we need to raise quite a bit of money. We only have less than 4 hours for the rest of this pledge week, so tonight and tomorrow. And so, Richard, if you would, and folks, join in with Richard, pray with Richard. Would you pray for us to meet our goals?
Yeah, dear Heavenly Father, we come before thy throne, Father God, to just ask, Heavenly Father, that you would touch the people's heart out there to be able to... help keep this program going. We and for those that have given, this is the time for you to pray for the others to step up and help out where they can. And this is tough decisions that Pastor Sanders has to make all the time on whether he can keep some of the channels going or if he has to drop some of the stations. And that's it breaks his heart to even think about that, because, Lord, you know how he feels about the radio program and how he feels about all the wonderful listeners that we have out there. So we would just ask that if you haven't pledged, that you would consider making a commitment to pledge some funds to be able to help the radio program continue. And if you have pledged, then just hold these people up in prayer. And, you know, we always say that if everybody that was listening would donate just a little bit, it would be a tremendous amount of money. And it would be able to solve all the problems that they have with trying to pay for the station time. So we just would ask, Heavenly Father, that you would just touch those hearts, draw people closer to you, Lord, and also touch people's hearts to be able to give and help out the program where they can. We thank you so very much, Heavenly Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray.
All right. Bob and Lori pledged in Michigan. You know, Bob and Lori and Carl, they've all, you know, these are faithful. Every month they're there, and they pledge 100. Thank you, Bob and Lori. And I want to remind the folks that we have the DVDs, 50 years of Pastor Sanders, exhilarating moments and untold challenges and many stories in between. We have parts 2 and 3 left, and we've been getting a really good response out of these DVDs.
Yeah, good, yeah.
These are just true life stories that we are talking about. A lot of things made, you know, like, for example, we talked about how, you know, I was right there involved in the whole Clinton crime mob, exposing that right in the very beginning.
Yeah, I remember that.
A lot of action. Oh, the corruption in the prison system. We were on top of that. I was, and, you know, like I said, there was several assaults on my life. They tried to kill me several times, just, you know. But God didn't let it happen, did he?
Praise God.
And of course, you're one of those stories. You and I go back and...
Yeah, well, I could talk a lot about the prisons and everything. I was spent 10 years in there, so...
Yeah, and you ended up being a chaplain in the prison.
Yes, so, that's another story.
Yeah.
Maybe one of these times we'll talk about all that stuff.
Well, you know, over 50 years, not one boring day. We haven't had one boring day.
That's true.
Not one. And so, but we better get into the Bible tonight.
Yeah, just a comment on the DVDs. If you have not got those, or if you've maybe received those and haven't had a time to watch those yet, they're very fascinating because it's very low-key, and Pastor Sanders is just discussing his life during this time, and he talks about a lot of very interesting events going on. So it's a lot of fun to watch those and just to see what was happening at the time. So enjoy the DVDs when you contribute.
Yeah, well, we have number 2 and number 3 right now. We're out of number 1s, and okay. We went through a lot of those. And so number 2 and number 3, folks, and a donation of $25, or if you get both of them, you can get two of them, both 2 and 3 for $45. And so the numbers are 888-281-1110. That's credit card line. Or 888-677-9673. That's regular line. Title, what we're talking about today, and of course the title of the message this week was When the Wicked Say I Am Righteous. And we started off talking about the rules of the law of judges. So we're going to pick it up where we left off in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 1 through 8. Let's do that, kind of take a verse at a time, Richard. And
sure.
And,
verse 1, dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints?
Well, we had it at our church. We had the Ecclesiastical Law Council, so when people petition us, and that's when two believers, when two of the saints, two Christians have a disagreement, and we give them an option not to go before the heathen courts, okay, but to settle it and bring it before the Ecclesiastical Law Council. So we already have the law made up for us. It's right here called the King James Bible.
Yes.
And usually we have between three and seven pastors, and we listen to the case, and then we'll make a decision, but they have to sign a paper saying they'll abide by the case, because we don't have time to waste, do we?
No, no.
Especially at our age, right?
Yeah.
And so, anyhow, so, dare any of you having a matter against another go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? And go ahead, verse 2.
Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters?
Well, now he's talking about a specific period of time, a dispensation, when the saints are going to judge the world, and that's called the Millennial Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Karen pledges 25. Thank you, Karen. Thank you, Karen. Okay. So here, when he says, so that's the Millennial Kingdom. The Millennial Kingdom, we're going to be, well, first of all, we'll have our glorified bodies.
Amen.
And we will be positions during that kingdom. And we're talking about the saints. Some will be like governors, some will be like mayors. But we'll be judging the world, okay? And, of course, justice will be instantaneously. The Lord Jesus himself is going to be on the throne. And here, rebellion will be put down quickly.
Yes.
You know, and so go ahead and read verse 3.
Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life?
Okay, so, you know, when you read that, people automatically say, well, we're going to be judging the fallen angels. No, we're not. They've already been judged, okay? We're going to be judging the good angels, right? And but here's the thing: the holy angels will be judging. This is why in Scripture, where it tells you over there in chapter 11, where the angels are curious, they're watching us to learn things, because they know that the time is coming when we'll be in charge of them.
Yes.
If I was one of those angels and I was taking a good look at us right now, I wouldn't be too excited with you about the prospects, but we're going to be changed, aren't we?
Yes, yes.
And that'll be a good thing.
And that's even the idea of us judging the scriptures. And like Matthew 6, it says, talking about the mote in a person's eye, or a beam in a person's eye, and a mote in a brother's eye. And it says, judge not, lest ye be judged. The idea is we're to judge, but we're to judge righteous judgment. And the only way we do righteous judgment is by right with the Word of God.
You know, I can't tell you how many times being out on the streets in front of those abortion mills preaching that these people come in and they'll parrot that, judge not, lest you be judged. See, they know that little soundbite, but
right. But they don't read the rest
right.
of it.
And if you keep on reading, he's not telling you not to judge, but in fact, he's telling you when you do judge, judge with righteous judgment. Don't hold others up to a higher standard than yourself.
Right.
In fact, if you go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, here, Richard, we get another commandment, and that is to judge everything. We are to judge, if I can get these.
First Corinthians 2.
Yeah. Let's read, starting with verse 11 through 16. Go ahead.
For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so that the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are spirit, they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ.
All right, so here, let me read that verse 15 again. But he that is spiritual judges all things.
There you go.
And yet he himself is judged of no man. Wait a minute, Pastor. People judging us all the time. You always hear it. You ever watch the news? They're always judging us, aren't they? Well, what weight does their judgment hold? What validity?
As far as God's concerned, none.
Absolutely. Who's going to enforce it, right?
And okay. That's the natural man, what this chapter 2 speaks of. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's go back to where we left off.
Okay. Verse 4.
Yep.
If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church.
Well, now here, when you say that, say, what in the world? He's talking about the babes in Christ, just the newest Christians. Mm-hmm. And he's saying that he's making a point there, and the point is, look, that just a babe in the Lord, a newly born-again Christian, actually, President Trump's actually in that category.
Yes.
That he is more qualified to judge you fairly and honestly than an unsaved heathen judge that's been on the bench for 40 years.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And so, go ahead.
I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren.
You know, it's an interesting thing that he says this here. All righty, Carol Ann in New York pledges 100. Thank you, Carol Ann. Thank you. Let me give the numbers out again because we really have to hear from the people. We really do. 888-281-1110. Those are the credit card line. 888-677-9673 is the other line. Now, here, Richard. Now, Paul is there in Corinth. What was it that was the favorite pastime for those people, especially the Greeks in Corinth at the time? You know, with us, we have church on Sunday, and after church, sometimes we'll watch a ball game or something, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't actually have ball games, and the church was just getting started, and so they would meet down in the middle of the town. They would have a pavilion, and these Greeks would, Corinthians, they prided themselves on knowledge and wisdom, and one by one, they would get out, and they'd wax eloquently and, you know, to the brother. And a lot of Apostle Paul sat there. And remember, they told Paul, you're Mercury and Barnabas.
Yeah.
And no, you know.
Yeah.
And so, and then Paul referred to that unknown God that you've got. So here now, he's saying to them, and I speak to your shame, okay?
Yes.
Is it so that there is not a wise man among you, no, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren? But brethren go to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now, therefore, there is utterly a fault among you because you go to law with one another. Why do you not rather take the wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourself to be defrauded? And, you know, that's exactly what you really should do in some cases, instead, because the only ones that benefit when you go to the heathen courts are the lawyers, huh, in the courts.
Yeah, and the arguing with a brother about some of these matters that mean nothing really in the long run is ridiculous. And that really is where we come in with turn the other cheek with our brothers is if they've wronged you, forgive them and go on. Don't he owes me this much or something. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, see, that's the kind of things that we do handle. I mean, we don't handle criminal cases like murder and rape and things at the Ecclesiastical Law Council, but we do handle disagreements and
yeah.
things. We're arbitrary. But we do it. We actually don't do it. The Word of God does it, huh?
Amen. That's what we do. Judge righteous judgment.
All righty. We've got a lot to get into tonight, and we're going to talk about this. Something that's bad is happening in South Africa. And here we just started a prayer out tonight with Chuck and Claudia. And Claudia was from South Africa, our dear friend. Molly Smith is an African. And so you got all these white Africans, okay? Afro-Americans. They're Afro-Americans. There you go. But some bad things happening. President Trump, I love someone who's bold. I love the boldness. Take her away.
The articles, please, if you would. And turn the lights down. Turn the lights down. And just put this on. It's right behind you. Johan.
There's nothing this government can do with or without you. People are going to occupy land. We require no permission from you, from the president.
This is his party leaders, his vice president, saying kill the whites. They're big events. We've seen all this on the show.
We are going to occupy land. Yeah. South Africa, occupy land. That's who we are.
And they passed the laws to protect the land. They're doing it. Oh, no, we're not doing anything wrong. This is getting good now.
Never be scared to kill. A revolution demands that at some point there must be killing, because the killing is part of a revolutionary act. Shoot to kill. Namaza. Kill the poor, the farmer. Kill the poor, the farmer. Brr, pa, pa, brr, pa, pa. Kill your master. Kill the poor, the farmer. Kill the poor, the farmer.
The mayor of DA in PE is a white man. So these people, when you want to hit them hard, go after a white man. They feel a terrible pain because you have touched a white man.
Be terrible to the white man. Go after the white man. Be terrible to him. Kill him.
There will be touched. Don't worry. But we are starting with this whiteness.
That's the vice leader of the country. Like J.D. Vance.
Yamaza. Kill the Pua. The farmer. Kill the brewer, the farmer. Brr, pa, pa, brr, pa. Shoot to kill, the mother. Kill the brewer.
Oh, this is incredible. The corporate media, the South Africans, are all working together to cover this up. Trump in the White House is showing it, dumb. With hundreds of thousands in a sports stadium, there's hundreds of these videos.
I don't know what means in the future. I'm saying you was not called for the killing of white people, at least for now. I can't guarantee the future.
Yeah, but I mean, you'd understand somebody watching that, especially as it gets shared on Twitter, they freak out. It sounds like a genocidal
This is basically John Bowne's report we heard last week. It's basically the same clubs. Yeah, this is another one of the big parties saying kill all the white people. We're going to shoot them. They're going to run, and then when they run, you don't want them to leave.
Will expropriate land without compensation, whether they like it or not. If they object, they can seek refuge in America.
Now this is very bad. These are burial sites right here.
burial sites, over 1,000 of white farmers, and those cars are lined up to pay love on a Sunday morning. Each one of those white things you see is a cross, and there's approximately 1,000 of them. They're all white farmers, the family of white farmers. And those cars aren't driving. They're stopped there to pay respects to their family member who was killed. And it's a terrible sight. I've never seen anything like it. Both sides of the road, you have crosses. Those people were all killed.
Have they told you where that is, Mr. President? No, I'd like to know where that is, because this I've never seen. I don't. Okay.
I mean, it's in South Africa. That's
great. We need to find out.
Mr. President, the Pentagon announced that it would be accepting a Qatari jet to be used as Air Force One. Perhaps
what are you talking about?
Can we have a philosophical question, please?
Mr. President, the Pentagon's going first.
What does this have to do with the Qatari jet? They're giving the United States Air Force a jet, okay? And it's a great thing. We're talking about a lot of other things. It's NBC trying to get off the subject of what you just saw. You are a real, you're a terrible reporter. Number one, you don't have what it takes to be a reporter. You're not smart enough. But for you to go into a subject about a jet that was given to the United States Air Force, which is a very nice thing, they also gave $5.1 trillion worth of investment.
All right. What you have there. Now, you have President Trump, God bless him, because you have the president of South Africa there.
Yes.
And he's showing him what is, look at all these farmers, thousands, over 1,000 farmers, white farmers were murdered, their land taken away from them. And if they lived, they would not be compensated for their land. They were just taken away. And so Trump is showing them. He showed them the graves. In other words, so he comes over here to America, and he's looking for aid for South Africa, looking for aid, right?
Right.
He wants all these rich white people here in America to give him some money, right? And Trump has shown him, we're going to do that. Look what you're doing to all of the white, Now, here, the Democrats in this country, the Democrats want to bring everybody in to this country. Okay, except for white people. They don't want to bring white people in. They want to bring, Hispanics. They want to bring, not so much Asians, but some Asians, okay?
Brown, yellow, and black, but no white.
Right. And they want to bring, and remember, because all the whites are racist.
Mm.
Yeah, see? The hypocrisy is stifling amongst these people. It's just absolutely stifling. And so here, Trump is saying, look, these white farmers in South Africa, they're in real danger. They're killing them. So he puts this guy right in a hot seat. I mean, he puts him right there. He made him look at it.
Okay? Wow.
And so praise God for that. So you have this idiot from NBC jump up, and he wants to know about the jet that was given to from, I think, one of the African countries. What country was it that gave, that was Saudi Arabia that gave him the jet, which is, I thought it was not Kuwait, but, you sure it was Saudi?
I believe so, I can double check.
Okay. I think it was the other one that he went to, but anyhow, the Arab nation, but he gave it to the Air Force. He didn't give it, now, Boeing seems to not be able to. Trump was flying around in a 40-year-old plane.
Qatar.
It was Qatar. That's who it was, yeah. So Trump is flying around in a 40-year-old plane and for years now. In his first term, when Trump got into office in his first term, and that's been, 8 years ago,
yeah.
They started working on his plane. It's been 8 years. They don't have his plane finished. And Trump was saying, you know, why is it that you can build this for guitar? You know, Boeing built it for guitar, but they couldn't build one for him.
Yeah.
This plane is really, like, super modern. I mean, everything's in it. But anyhow, and so he really fronts this guy off, you know, and the hypocrisy is stifling. Let's we want to say Carol in New York pledged 100, and that's Carol Ann in New York, and Tony in Avon pledges 25. Thank you, Carol. Thank you, Tony. 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673, folks. We need to hear from you. We've been here. We've always given 100%. We've never given less than our best in all these years. And we prayed for you. I mean, we've prayed for you folks over all the years out there. We've come to you. None of us take a salary. We all volunteer our time. We put in because the cause is a righteous cause. And we know that the time is coming where, you know, you're going to really need to be informed and think about the media. What media can you trust?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so we've, in all these years, we've never stood down. We've never stood back. We've never compromised. And yeah, even though when we've been under attack from everywhere you turn, but we never have. But we need your help now. Now, we need your help right now tonight. So those numbers are 888-281-1110. Every now and then we get a letter from people saying, I've been listening to you for 20 years. I've been listening to you for 30 years. Never pledged. And I'm going to, this is my first pledge. I'm sorry. I'm ashamed. You know, folks, many of you have out there been listening to us and have never pledged. Right now is the good time to start, you know.
Yes, amen.
We really need to hear from you. Okay. So, again, those numbers are 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. Do we have, take us back to President Trump.
In addition to the jet, you ought to go back to your studio at NBC because Brian Roberts and the people that run that place, they ought to be investigated. They are so terrible, the way you run that network, and you're a disgrace. No more questions from me. Go ahead.
All right, let's stop here. We're going to go to break, come back with more and Roger Stone, but this is ongoing right now. This is so historic. Trump throwing the truth in front of the South African genocidal black racist president and to the corporate media that tries to cover all this up, throwing it directly in their faces, and the corporate media pivots to the jet they gave the Air Force because Boeing can't produce one, but they can produce a new one for them, the exact same jet. Unbelievable. And to see Trump in live time understanding that the InfoWar is key to victory, and just basically holding fireside chats multiple times a day, everything we've called for him to do with the TV, with the documents, with the evidence, and he's doing it more and more. This is just amazing. This is so exciting. A few months ago, you've got the ultra-racist, globalist South African president coming to the White House saying, please don't put sanctions on us. No, 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 we've never harmed a white person. We love them. And you've got his big party conventions. This goes on constantly. We have hundreds of these. And the other major parties all saying, we're going to chase down the whites. We're going to kill them. We're going to take their land. We're going to chase them out of the country. And then when they try to leave, this president just this week said they're treasonous, that Trump is bad. How dare them take less than 100 of them in? They need to face justice. They need to face revenge. These are all quotes by his party, official X account, statements this guy's made. They just passed laws last year to take all the white farmers' land with eminent domain. And then he sits there with the corporate media and acts like Trump's insane. And none of this is going on. So Trump shows a video compilation and of it being said by the different major parties, including the president's party, with his vice president, And he goes, well, that's a political event. That doesn't represent the policies. Our policies are the exact opposite. He just said that. We went to break. We stopped it. Let's go back to a little bit more, and we're going to Roger Stone.
In South Africa that allows people to express themselves, political parties to adhere to various policies, and in many cases, or in some cases, those policies do not go along with government policy. Our government policy is completely, completely against what he was saying, even in the parliament. And they're a small minority party, which is allowed to exist in terms of our constitution.
But you do allow them to take land.
No.
You do allow them to take land.
Nobody can take land.
And then when they take the land, they kill the white farmer. And when they kill the white farmer, nothing happens to them.
No, there is quite...
Nothing happens to them.
There is criminality in our country. People who do get killed, unfortunately, through criminal activity, are not only white people. Majority of them are black people. And we have now...
The farmers are not black. I don't say that's good or bad, but the farmers are not black. And the people that are being killed in large numbers, and you saw all those grave sites, and those are people that loved ones going, I guess on a Sunday morning, they tell me, to pay respect to their loved ones that were killed. Their heads chopped off. They died violently. And... You know, I mean, we're here to talk about it, and I didn't know we'd get involved here. But I will say this, that if the news wasn't fake, like NBC, which is fake news, totally one of the worst, ABC, NBC, CBS, horrible. But if they weren't fake news like this jerk that we have here, if we had real reporters, they'd be covering it. But the fake news in this country doesn't talk about that. They don't want to talk about it, but now they have to talk about it. But they won't. This won't even be a subject. They'll have him talking about why did a country give a free... Think of this. Why did a country give an airplane to the United States Air Force? Okay? The United States... Not to me. To the United States Air Force. So they could help us out, because we need an Air Force One until our... So that's Air Force One. It's being built. Two of them being built. But Boeing's a little bit late, unfortunately. So why did they give us a plane to the United States Air Force? That's what that idiot talks about after viewing a thing where thousands of people are dead.
I'm sorry, I don't have a plane to give you.
I wish you did. I would take it. If your country offered the United States Air Force a plane, I would take it.
Okay. But coming back to this issue, which I really would like us to talk about, and talk about it very calmly, we were taught by Nelson Mandela that whenever there are problems, people need to sit down around a table and talk about them.
Well, there are problems.
And this is precisely what we would also like to talk about, including, of course, trade matters, investment matters. So the issues that concern you as the United States...
Those are all recent. Those are all deaths.
Yeah, in many ways, I mean, one should say you are a partner of South Africa. And
Trump is conducting an info war now every day from the White House with these press conferences. Exactly what I said he should do. This is amazing. Good news. They got a bunch of methylene blue in quicker than we...
All righty, we're back. There you go. So Trump really put him on the spot. Trump
he sure
does
did.
Things. And, you know, to have... I mean, how dumb is that, these reporters from NBC to come along when... He shows, but the folks out there, they heard, but they couldn't see. He had this huge screen, and they had a lot of the politicians there. And, you know, he had his cabinet, and then you had the cabinet there from South Africa. And they're looking at these political leaders saying, kill the white man, kill the white man, kill the white man. And then here they're looking at all the graves, thousands of graves of white farmers that have been murdered, okay, slaughtered there. And so this guy, who's the president, he says, where's that happening? And Trump says, in your country, right? and so anyhow, all right, Sarah in Michigan pledges 40. Thank you, Sarah. Bonnie in Oklahoma pledges 15. Thank you, Bonnie. The lines are open at 888-281-1110. That's the credit card line. Richard, you know, on Monday, I pledged 1,000. And on Tuesday, I pledged 1,000. And on Wednesday, I can't pledge any more thousands. I'm 1,000 out. But on every one of those days, I needed at least two people to match me. And I got it yesterday. We had three people, okay?
Wow, praise God.
And so we need that tonight. I don't have 1,000 to pledge tonight, okay?
Nor I.
Okay.
I'd love to do it, but... Yeah.
I'm 1,000 out, and you know Style won't do it, right?
I'm still waiting on my 1,000 back from Richard. He owes me, so...
Yes.
All right, there you go. So we get a call up on some of you folks out there. Who can match my 1,000? Who can match my 1,000, okay?
Well, we kind of go back and forth here in the studio about that. But, you know, we understand that out there, too. You know, if you can't pledge 1,000, that would be wonderful if you can. But if you can't, if you can pledge something.
What if they just pledge 500 twice?
You could do that.
Yeah. No, folks, we do need to hear from you. We really do. I know we got to get serious here. We're down. We have a little more than 3 hours and a few minutes to raise enough for the rest of the month and to stay on the station that you're listening to us right now on. And so, again, we don't have advertisers like you hear. That's why you don't hear all those commercials during our radio program.
Right.
We did. We could have had advertisers. We had people. Well, we actually have people support us that are corporations, but they keep it quiet because they'll be attacked.
Yes,
they'll be attacked. And from early on, you know, you have these communist things like MoveOn.org and others, George Soros people. They don't want us on the air. Bloomberg bought three stations out that we were on in New York. Three stations got us off the air. Okay?
Wow!
And so because they don't like what we're telling people, like. Well, we just brought up just there with this thing with President Trump. I'll guarantee you didn't hear that on NBC, ABC, or CBS. Richard, nowadays, the conservatives, we have a lot of outlets now.
Yes, we do.
But before, we didn't. Remember, we were like the Lone Ranger for many years out there. We were like the Lone Ranger out there. We were getting attacked from every direction out there. But we not only did we hold our own, we better than hold our own.
Amen.
We went on the offense, and so, but we right now again, like I say, there's a lot of others, and especially now coming up because we're coming towards summertime, and that's always a very very hard time for us, summertime.
Mm-hmm.
So, folks, we really need to hear from you. We really do. And again, if you want to continue to hear from us, I got to tell you this very quickly that. Apothecary Herbs is still having their sale, and I want to help Wendy out because that lady, she has helped us out so often, and she has the very best medicines you can get. I mean, those all-natural herbal medicines, that is top-shelf stuff. I mean,
and she's a very smart lady as far as that the profession she's in, that she can really give you some good advice and understanding of what the herbs will do for you.
She really puts her heart and soul into it.
Yes.
I mean, and she takes it very seriously. And boy, you can't even kid where it comes to, you know, Wendy, because, you know, she mixes up all her natural herbal ingredients. And one day I was just kidding with her. I said, spin and toil, you know, and talking about Wendy with her cauldron there, and you don't dare do that. That's because she knows that she's up against witchcraft.
Yes, and making those tinctures. I made tinctures when I was beekeeping, and making a tincture is a lot of work. There's a lot of that goes into making these tinctures. It's just not dumping some alcohol mixture with some herbs or something. There's quite a bit to be done when you make these tinctures to have them come out strong enough and consistency with them.
Yeah, and she, when it comes to that, she is extremely particular, really fussy, that she has the very top, the very best you can get.
Yes.
So, folks, anyhow, until Monday, she's got her sale going on, and her number is 866-229-3663. Again, 866-229-3663. You know, I got to say, her products are a little pricey. They are, but they're top shelf. They really are top shelf.
Well, as much effort as goes into it, if somebody looks at that and goes, well, that's pretty expensive to do that, try to make it yourself. Take some one of these herbs or some very easily obtained herb and try to make a tincture out of it with the potency that she uses.
Oh, it's a lot of work.
I'll tell you what, when you got all done, you would say, I would rather have somebody else do it and pay them to do it, because it's a lot of work.
Absolutely. All righty. 888-281-1110. That's the credit card line, or 888-677-9673. We are waiting for your calls. When we got on the other side of the break here, Richard, we've been battling. We've warned people about here in this country, the ACLU, how the ACLU can stand up and act like they're a legitimate organization when they want to legalize pedophilia, when they're in favor of abortion, where every single thing that the God's Word, the Bible, calls a sin, they embrace. But now it's even worse than that, because now the World Economic Council, they're going to promote in the World Health Organization pedophilia, a horrible thing. In our country, here in America, the Democratic Party, the leadership in the Democratic Communist Party is flush from top to bottom with pedophiles. They want to legalize pedophilia. Joe Biden was a pedophile, okay?
Yes.
According to his own daughter, okay? And that's obvious why, you know, he's pushing the child sex trade.
Mm-hmm.
And the United States, the federal government under Biden, the federal government was the world's largest purveyor of child sex trade. Okay, and we told people, we were amongst the first to tell people, when we first started saying that, people got, no, what kind of a patriot are you to say your government? Okay, the reason we said it is this: it's true, and it's a horrible, horrible thing, and we need to stop it. Okay. And so, but how do you do that? Well, we got to keep talking about it, right? And that's one of the things that we've done over there for 50 years. And so, Dan in California pledges 60. Thank you, Dan in California. Did I do Bonnie in Oklahoma? I think I did Bonnie in Oklahoma 15. And so, all right, again, and that's what we're going to do. We're not going to back up as long as we have air in our lungs and breath. We're going to come after them, aren't we?
Yes, absolutely. That's obnoxious. These sins, I mean, some sins, you know, people wink at, but these things are absolutely gross.
Yeah, well, you know, again, and that's another thing I want to talk about. We're coming up when we come back. The House is big, passes big, beautiful budget bill. By God's grace, they passed by one vote, but something very important, the most important thing about passing the bill, the most important. We'll talk about that on the other side. So, 3, 4, 5, 6, 9, 10.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.